Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GAIL Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Probal Sen from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Palak. Welcome everyone to the post-Q3 FY26 conference call of GAIL India. We have with us members of the senior management headed, of course, by Shri Rakesh Kumar Jain, the Director of Finance of the company, and other senior executives in his team. Without further ado, I'll hand it over to him for opening remarks, post which we'll have a detailed Q&A. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Probal, and good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q3 financial year 26 earnings conference call. And here with me, I am joined by my senior colleagues from various sections or departments of GAIL India Limited. The quarter under review has been marked by continuous volatility in global energy markets due to uncertain weather conditions and evolving geopolitical dynamics, which has kept the HH and spot prices on the higher side. Despite the adversities, GAIL's natural gas transmission volume has shown recovery as compared to earlier quarters. Marked by elevated consumption by fertilizer, refinery, and CGD sectors. In addition, GAIL has been able to seize the first-mover advantage in the preceding 9 months by securing additional tie-ups with CGD customers, which has resulted in new tie-ups of approximately 2 MMSCMD. I find it worth mentioning that during calendar year 2025, more than 15,000 capacity transactions have been booked through GAIL's open pipeline access portal, which is encouraging for us to continue to build and invest in the natural gas infrastructure of the country. Let me begin with business updates for the quarter. As you are aware, the PNGRB has issued an interim revision of natural gas pipeline tariff for GAIL's integrated natural gas pipeline network from 58.61 rupees to 65.69 rupees per MMBTU. This is effective from 1st January 2026. This represents an increase of approximately 12.1%, leading to a positive impact of approximately 1,200 crore rupees per annum. GAIL has filed a review petition that is post-announcement of tariff. We reviewed the tariff, and we filed a review petition on 26th December 2025, seeking an increase of 15 rupees per MMBTU to the interim revision. Let me give you, we submitted approximately 78 rupees. We got 65.69 rupees. Effectively, there was an approximate 12 rupees reduction, but when we filed the review petition, it became 15 rupees on same principles because, as you know, that the tariff is worked out on discounted cash flow methodology. Any delay in tariff approvals also results in an increase in tariff ability of GAIL. GAIL has the ability to get more. So therefore, the 12 rupees has become 15 rupees, and we filed a review petition for an increase of 15 rupees per MMBTU to the interim tariff revision. Though the petition, GAIL expects weighing of the factors like OPEX, CAPEX, transmission loss, revenue sharing in terms of the regulatory provisions, which have not been considered in the interim tariff order. With effect from October 1st, 2025, GAIL has implemented state-wise CST procurement of domestic gas from ONGC Gujarat to enhance tax efficiency for CGD customers. And GAIL is continuously looking for tax optimization. How can we do it for various sections or various customers so that we have the ability to give competitive prices? GAIL has been offered to set up 2 fertilizer plants along the MNJPL corridor. apart from the, you know, we seek to go into fertilizer sector, this plants will also act as an anchor load for MLJPL. The investment, the investment for these two plants is rupees 21,000 crore rupee. The said proposal is having an in-principle approval of board and the proposal is under evaluation stage now. GAIL Global IHSC Limited, which is GAIL's only owned subsidiary, has successfully commenced operations within the first year of its operation by extending an intra-corporate loan of rupees 290 crore to Bengal Gas Company Limited. GAIL sees renewable energy as a strategic growth opportunity and is undertaking a significant expansion of existing clean energy portfolio of 145 megawatt we have, that is 118 megawatt of wind and 27 megawatt of solar. Several large projects are currently in various stages of development or are under progress, including 170 megawatt wind project in Maharashtra, solar project of 100 megawatt and 600 megawatt in Uttar Pradesh, and approximate 35 megawatt captive use solar plants across various GAIL locations. Compressed biogas continues to be a strategic pillar of our clean energy portfolio. Following the successful commissioning of 5 ton per day CBG plant at Rashi, the board has approved investment for establishing 6 CBG plants. These projects are part of GAIL's commitment to establish around 25-30 CBG plants across India, for which the company is proactively engaging with multiple state governments to secure land. These initiatives reflect our strong commitments to strengthen India's energy security while accelerating the transition towards sustainable and clean energy solutions and enhancing long-term value creation. GAIL's retail LNG business continues to progress steadily with a plan to establish 29 LNG stations. Development of LNG stations at 5 locations is presently underway. Further, GAIL CGD entities have already commissioned 13 LNG or LCNG stations, making early step towards building a cleaner long-haul transportation ecosystem in the country. As you know, this is one of the major consuming sector and upcoming major in LNG consuming sector. I feel happy to inform our investors that the company has declared an interim dividend at the rate of 50% of face value for the financial year 25-26, that is rupees 5 per share. GAIL's results for the quarter ended 31st December 2025 have been declared on last Saturday. I will briefly touch upon the major highlights for this quarter. Thereafter, we may open the session for queries. GAIL's turnover stood at rupees 34,030 crore in Q3 financial year 26 as against 34,972 crore in quarter 2 financial year 26. Profit before tax in quarter 3 financial year 26 stood at rupees 2030 crore as against 2823 crore in Q2 financial year 26. The profit after tax during the quarter stood at rupees 1603 crore as against 2217 crore in Q2 financial year 26. Quarter 3 versus quarter 3, that is quarter 3 financial year 26 versus quarter 3 financial year 25. On comparative quarter basis, GAIL achieved turnover of rupees 34,030 crore as against 34,907 crore in corresponding period of last year. PBT stood at rupees 2030 crore as against 5029 crore and PAT stood at 1603 crore as against 3867 crore. And as you know, this is mainly because of an exceptional income we got last year quarter 3, that is 2,440 crore, which was recorded by the company on account of arbitration settlement with SMTS. Now I will touch upon the physical performance during the quarter vis-a-vis previous quarter. Gas marketing volume during the quarter stood at 103.98 MMSCMD as against 105.49 MMSCMD Q2 financial year 26. Natural gas transmission volume improved to 125.45 MMSCMD in quarter 3 financial year 26 as against 123.59 MMSCMD in quarter 2 financial year 26. The average capacity utilization was 56%. Polymer production was almost flat at 219 TMT in Q3 financial year 26, which is stood at 220 TMT in previous quarter. LFC production stood at 199 TMT as against 221 TMT in previous quarter. LPG transmission was 1188 TMT as against 1167 TMT in the US quarter. The capacity utilization was 103% during the quarter. Now, let me take you through the consolidated financial of Q3 financial year 26 versus Q2 financial year 26. The consolidated turnover Q3 financial year 26 stood at rupees 35,253 crore as against rupees 35,594 crore in Q2 financial year 26. The PBT in quarter 3 financial year 26 stood at rupees 2165 crore as against 2565 crore in Q2 financial 26. The profit after tax in Q3 financial year 26 stood at 1756 crore versus 1972 crore in Q2 financial year 26. As you know, GAIL also is directly dealing with 6 CGDs. Just to take you through the performance of those 6 CGDs. GAIL has 6 direct operations of 6 GAs, has an infrastructure of 215 CNG stations and 4.64 lakh DPNG connections. During the quarter, 2 new CNG stations and 15,990 new DPNG stations were added. The physical volume stood at 0.55 MMSCMD. In next 2 years, GAIL targets to add around 85 new CNG stations and around 150,000 new DPNG connections. I will also take you through the performance of our 100% subsidiary GAIL Gas Limited. In Q3 financial year 26, turnover of GAIL Gas stood at 3292 crore as against rupees 3235 crore in Q2 financial year 26. PBT stood at rupees 143 crore as against 148 crore in Q2 financial year 26. The decrease is mainly due to increase in input gas cost and exchange rate resulted in reduction in margin. PAT stood at rupees 106 crore as against 111 crore in Q2 financial year 26. The physical volume stood at 7.8 MMSCMD. During quarter 3 financial year 26, GAIL Gas along with its JV subsidiaries has added 71,411 new DPNG connections and 9 CNG stations. GAIL Gas with its JV subsidiaries have an infrastructure of 1,246,000 DPNG connections and 674 CNG stations. I will also take you through the status of ongoing project. As of December 2025, GAIL's operational natural gas pipeline length has crossed to 18,000 km. Calendar year 2026 will be an important year for project commissioning with several major pipeline scheduled to come on stream like Mumbai, Nagpur, Jharsuguda, that is the remaining portion I am talking about. The Jagdishpur Haldia project, KKMBPL phase 2, Gurdaspur Jammu pipeline. Together these projects will significantly enhance reach, reliability and regional balance in national gas grid. GAIL is also actively considering participating in bidding for new petroleum and petroleum product pipeline, largely LPG pipeline. Petrochemicals project. As regards petrochemical project, this calendar year will be an important from petrochemical project point of view as well. Major projects such as GAIL's 1250 KTA PTA plant at GMPL, Mangalore, 500 KTA PDHPP plant at Usara scheduled to be commissioned during this calendar year, and 60 KTA PP plant at Pata is very advanced stage of commissioning, may be commissioned in a day or so. Capex for quarter 3 financial year 26, during the quarter a capex of rupees 2186 crore was incurred, out of which 804 crore was incurred on pipeline, 455 crore was incurred operational capex, and others was 620 crore, and rest was on CGD, ENP, renewable equity contribution, etc. I will also take you through the segment-wise outlook for short to medium term. The PBT from gas marketing during the quarter stood at 779 crore. The PBT from gas marketing during the 9 years stood at rupees 3000 crore. We are expecting to achieve marketing margin level from gas marketing segment in financial year 26. In gas transmission segment quarter 3 financial year 26, average transmission volume improved to 125.45 MMSCMD as compared to 123.59 MMSCMD during Q2 financial year 26. Further, the volume during the month of December 25 stood at 128.65 MMSCMD. This reflects that there is now a recovery phase or there is a growth in transmission business after we have seen the quarter one, which was not to our expectations. Further, the volume during the month of December 2025 stood at 128.65 MMSCMD, signifying the return of volume to normal levels. Average transmission volume of 9 months financial year 26 stood at 123.23 MMSCMD. The recovery in gas transmission volume is primarily on account of elevated consumptions by fertilizer, refinery and CGD sectors and resumption of gas supply to on two sections after completion of repair job which had got disrupted during Q2 financial year 26 due to extreme monsoon and flash floods in North India. We are hopeful of achieving our gas transmission guidance of 124 to 125 MMSCMD for financial year 25-26. Volume of production stood at 219 TMT as against 220 TMT in previous quarter. There is a loss of Rs 483 crore during quarter 3 financial year 26 due to increase in input gas cost, rupee depreciation and decline in polymer prices. This segment is likely to be at similar level for remaining part of this financial year. However, likely softening of input gas prices, various measures being taken for cost of optimization and improvement of efficiency may lead to improvement in performance of this segment in coming year. LHC production stood at 199 TMT during Q3 financial year 26 as against 221 metric ton in previous quarter with a PBT of 29 crore. The PBT for LHC segment has been hit by drop in prices on account of low crude prices coupled with reduction in allocation of new well gas from 0.3 to MMSCMD to 0.2 MMSCMD. The management is actively engaging with ministry for more allocation of domestic gas. In addition to above operational and financial performance, I would also like to highlight the progress of Project Sanchay 2, our flagship project which is focused on maximizing profitability across core business segments through targeted improvements enabled by advanced data analytics. Phase 1 of project has been successfully completed with 30 approved use cases with an expected benefit of more than Rs 600 crore on net present value basis in the incoming 5 years. This is after net off of capex, which we are going to incur around 4146 crore. In addition to monetary benefits, Sanchay 2 is also helping build internal capabilities. GAIL is establishing a center of excellence comprising existing Sanchay 2 team members and further strengthening its team so that analytics, optimization, and value creation become embedded in way of GAIL, in the way GAIL operates across all business units. That's all from my side regarding the overview performance and projects. Now the management is available, management of company is available, and we will be glad to address any query that you may have. Over to you, Prabhat.
Thank you, sir. Operator, can we start the Q&A?
Yes, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Anand from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one is on the transmission business. How do you see the volume ramp up for FY27 and 28? And what do you think the global gas supply dynamics are looking like when it comes to these assumptions of gas demand? That's question one. The second question I'll ask after you answer this one.
Thank you. With respect to volume ramp up in financial year 26, we have been giving guidance time to time, and in terms of our guidance, we are expecting at least 134 to 135 MMSCMD of volume in coming financial year. We will end this financial year, in fact, around 124 to 125, and we are expecting at least 10 million volume, which anyway should have been available this year because There were various factors because of which we could not achieve that. So in order to give even further details of that, almost 4 million volume we are expecting to come from natural growth of CGD. And then we lost power volume this year. Almost 2 million volume power we lost. We expect that to come back. We expect that to come back. And new refineries volume and old refineries, these the 3 million volumes will come from there. Fertilizer, we have seen disruption during the year. That is likely to come up. So even if that volume which we lost during this year, including the CGD growth of 4 to 5 million, we expect to reach 134 to 135 MMSCMD in financial year 27. Regarding global gas supply, the global gas supply is abundantly available from coming financial years. As you know, lot of capacities are coming on stream, and that is helping the price to go down. We expect those price to soften. In fact, we have a lot of offers available at a very, very competitive price, and therefore that will also increase the boost of gas consumption in our price sensitive market.
Okay, thank you for this. Just one follow-up or additional question on the new gas contracts that you're signing. Are these contracts primarily Brent linked, or do you have a mix of baskets to link the price to?
Actually, when we source the volume, we have two, three things in our mind. One, that it should be cheapest available volume to our country, because you know that ours is a price sensitive market. We do not go based on the any geography or any index. So we are evaluating those offers which we are discussing, but currently we are feeling that Brent link contract are, because this is all dynamics, Brent link contracts are more competitive as compared to Henry Hub link contract, and therefore as a portfolio player we always want to keep a mix of Brent link and Henry Hub. So we are looking immediate basis on Brent link contract. We are of course also discussing Henry Hub, but we feel that Brent link contract may be available at a competitive rate as compared to Henry Hub during current market. I am telling you, because I am not telling that we will not go for Henry Hub. It's a dynamic situation.
Right. That really helps. Last question is the current portfolio that you have of long term sourcing, which is around 17 million metric ton. Where do you want to take this to, let's say, in the next couple of years?
We have started a statement about this. By 2030, at least, I'm using the word at least, we want to increase our portfolio to around 6 to 7 MMTPA more from current level. So, though demand in the country will be significantly more, at least 22, 23 MMTPA we want to increase the portfolio. And when we see that the more demand is coming, which is likely to come, we'll further take a call.
All right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. So you talked about this 6 to 7 MTPA additional LNG by 2030. When should one think that you'll start contracting these?
We will go progressively. We are already in market for sourcing of at least 12 cargo per annum. We are already in the market. We are having discussions with various suppliers. So such a huge volume you cannot expect, or we also do not intend to contract in one go. So progressively we are going, because we are also seeing what kind of index, what kind of supplier, what kind of flexibility is available. So progressively we will reach to 22-23, that is we will be adding 6 to 7.
And are you seeing early signs of price correction coming in, or are you still waiting for the glut to really start coming in, then price will see?
Actually, we believe that already the competitive offers are available. So because when we are talking of this contracting, it is not from 26. We are talking of 27, 28. For that, the suppliers are ready to offer the competitive price. So we do not expect that the price will further crash. Of course, you cannot predict anything in oil and gas business, but still, based on our analysis, that the offers currently available are quite competitive, and therefore we have really interest in going ahead.
Understood. And if you can also talk, when do you think the tariff review will happen? PNGRB said 1st April 2028. Do you see a scenario where it can happen earlier?
I want to spend good time on this subject. Actually, our last tariff revision had happened from 1st April 2023. And in normal course tariff revision, if you go law of the land, that is regulations, the tariff revision was due in April 2028. But when April 23, the tariff was revised, PNGRB had done moderations of around ₹10 per MMBTU, largely on two accounts. One, on consideration of system-used gas at $3.61 per MMBTU and capacity on a provisional basis. And you know that $3.61 per MMBTU was not even a domestic price. That actually, because of that, we filed an appeal with the regulator to consider that. But the appeal was taking time because of some issues, and we were asked by PNGRB to file regular tariff. So whenever you file the regular tariff, you file everything. So we filed everything, and accordingly, our submissions in August 24 was giving us a tariff of ₹78. But when PNGRB approved the tariff, they approved ₹65.69. In fact, they only trued up two parameters for which we went for appeal. But we believe that normally interim tariff concept is not there. So we again filed an appeal of ₹15, because now it has become ₹15. So, but while even doing interim relief, we believe that two parameters should have been considered differently than what PNGRB had done. They considered higher volume, but did not give the transmission loss on higher volume. There is a regulation that if you transport the volume beyond 75% of capacity, 50% of the revenue the transporter can retain, and 50% can be passed on. So PNGRB had considered higher volume, but that has not been given. We feel apparently these are mistakes apart from other parameters. So we filed an appeal with PNGRB. We are positive, and we believe that appeal will be considered. But otherwise, the tariff was due in April 28, and they have not said anything that will be cut or this will be cut. They have told in the order that will be considered in 28. So if it is considered in 28, what ₹15 you are asking will become ₹17. It's like a fixed deposit in a bank with a 15% pre-tax return.
Okay. Understood. And lastly, if you can just talk, the depreciation was
then
higher.
Sir, may we request you to come for follow-up?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, please limit your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Somaya from Adventures Park. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on the fertilizer project that we plan. If you could just help us with, in terms of, in case if we start to invest, what will be the timeline? And what is your thought on this capex of 20,000 crores? How does this compare with the brownfield? So are we, we have an expansion option on this, plus also what is the project return that we are looking at? Timelines, cash flows, and project return, these three things, if you could help us. Thank you.
So we expect a timeline of 3 years from the date board approves this proposal. Principally, it is approved, but it is subject to policy on energy and the subsidies by government. So we are working on that. And regarding the returns, it's an assured return if it is in terms of the policy guidelines of fertilizer. So it will be an assured return. That is not a concern for us. And cash flow, since it is a 3 years project, so in the 3 years, the cash flow will come maybe initial 1 year, maybe 10-20%, then 50-60%, and remaining like that cash flow will happen.
There is a capital grant or subsidy angle to this, which at a later point will get related.
No capital grant. No capital grant. It is subsidy which is available to fertilizer plants.
Okay, understood.
Fertilizer plant subsidy means the production subsidy. The after production, because this fertilizer is sold at a price notified and the producer gets the differential.
Understood, sir. Based on the current prevailing economics, what do we think of a rough cut as a project IRR bit for this?
What is the project IRR of this? It's 12% equity IRR.
Okay, got it. Second question is on the marketing side. One, in the month of January, Henry Hub has been quite volatile. It has spiked almost to $6-$7. How do we see this impacting us in the near term? That's the first part. Second part, sorry, I missed your initial remarks on the marketing guidance outlook. Also in the presentation, in terms of the overseas sales, this number has moved to close to 12 MMSCMD for the nine-month FY 2026, which was 6-7 MMSCMD. I mean, earlier it looked like the international volumes will continue to decline and they'll be diverted to the domestic market, but the last nine months it has gone up. If you could just clarify on this.
Marketing guidance, we have been giving time to time. Initially, when we year began, we gave 4,000 crore rupees of marketing margin we will be able to earn. Seeing the Q2 performance, we were expecting somewhere 4,000-4,500. The question you raised around volatility, we still maintain that we will be somewhere 4,000+ of marketing margin. That's the guidance. Second question was?
Sorry, one clarification here, sir. When we say 4,000, this is you are referring to FY 2026, this financial year, or you're referring to FY 2027?
This is financial year. I'm talking of this financial year.
For FY 2027 earlier, I mean, we can expect a similar run rate or we'll be guiding at a later point?
We have been giving this guidance for 2026 also. 2027 also, we are not saying that we'll be having any different number than that because our volumes are same, the marketing, kind of, you know, the challenges are same. We expect next year also we earn 4,000 crore rupees of marketing margin.
Got it. The second part was on the overseas sales increasing.
Yes.
Versus last nine months this year, 12 MMSCMD.
My colleague, Mr. Satish Sinha, will respond.
Basically, during the current year, we are taking various optimization measures. Earlier we used to have distributions, but now we are doing off-base basis. Due to this, our overseas supply has increased. Overseas sale has increased.
Okay, got it.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. On petchem input gas cost, could you tell us what was the number in Q3?
Just hold on.
$11.21. $11.2 per MMBtu.
Okay. What was it in?
As against $10.49 in the previous quarter.
In Q2. Okay. Last year, if you have the same number for last year?
Last year it was $9.45.
Okay. Okay. With Henry Hub still being higher than last quarter, this number should go up more in Q4?
Yeah, you are right that Henry Hub has gone higher, but we are talking with respect to one-month settlement. That is January, right? January, after January, February has softened. If you see the current market of HH, March is still there because January normally we have seen because of the severe winter it goes high. February and March, we do not see any challenge. January, yes, there is a challenge, so we have a lot of options. First is risk mitigation measure by marketing in an international market. Or doing some optimization measures. We are working out it, But on the face of it, what you are thinking may be correct, because today it has gone up, so part of that certainly we have to bear the cost.
Right. And entire feedstock would be Henry Hub linked LHG, or is there any other gas in the mix?
No, not necessarily Henry Hub. Henry Hub is quite, significant amount is Henry Hub also. But we are supplying Brent and also the available spot prices, whatever, because we have lot of volumes available. So we see whatever possible we supply to quota plant, but is it not necessarily Henry Hub? Largely yes, Henry Hub, but not necessarily everything is Henry Hub.
Understood. And is it fair to say that the you will continue to run the plant at 100% utilization, even like if LNG is staying high? Or would you look to kind of curtail that as well?
So I will come back to again. February and March, we don't see any challenge. January prices settled for February, yes, there is a challenge. December price settled for January, there was no challenge. It was $4.69 per MMBTU. So now coming back to your question, whether we will run 100%, now we are in the fag end of the financial year. So if you stop for a month or two, it actually impacts the energy efficiency. And it also impacts the customer sentiment. So for a smaller period, month or so, we do not take a call for shutting down. This happens in business, cyclical business, certainly impact. But second positive thing has happened in last 1 month. The prices of polymer has gone up. This month it has gone up by 2 rupees 50 paisa per 2,400 rupees per metric ton, and before that 1,000 rupees per metric ton. 3,500 rupees per metric ton price has also gone up. Where once one way the input cost has gone up, yes, another side that price of polymer has also increased.
Understood. And earlier you had mentioned they were also thinking of diversifying into ethane. Any progress there?
Well, we have not said that we are diversifying in ethane. What we are thinking, because this is the only gas-based plant in North India, what we are working on to optimize or take various of cost optimization measures to make this plant on profitable on sustainable basis even at this price. So what we are doing, first optimization measure we have taken, we are putting one pipeline carrying C2, C3 from our Vijaypur plant to Pata. So currently what we are doing, we are extracting C2, C3 at Vijaypur, mixing in natural gas pipeline, re-extracting it. During this process, we lost 10% energy. So that one optimization measure we have already taken, and this pipeline will be completed in one and a half years from now. Second, what we are working on it, this is quite under consideration, that we lay a dedicated ethane pipeline for any of the project and actually source ethane. Instead of using gas, we actually directly use ethane. Ethane, it has been seen that is a cheaper than gas, and it will give 20-25% more yield as compared to gas. And if we are able to do that, for which we are working, this plant will become even at the current level of prices, whereas the price of polymer, if you see in 29 onwards, any forecast is suggesting will go significantly high, because today the capacity is higher and demand is less. The situation is going to be reversed in coming 3 years.
Sure. And just the last question on the LPG and liquid hydrocarbons business. So the volume has been curtailed in this quarter, I believe, because of the APM reduction. So is this a normal run rate now, the 200 KT volume?
I think so. Because right now we are having a non-APM gas allocation around 1.12 MMSCMD and new well field gas around 0.2. So total gas availability for the LHC segment is around 1.32. So our production will be around 2 lakh per quarter.
Okay, understood. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Varatharajan from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So when you, in your opening remark, you highlighted that the Henry Hub price movement is adverse. Is it only adverse from the point of view of use as a feedstock in petrochem, or has there been some kind of an impact on the trading side as well?
So, first question, yes, it will certainly impact to some extent on the petrochemical project because the January price settled at higher. With respect to the natural gas marketing, we have some open volume. We have been telling that we source 21 MMSCMD from United States, almost 3 MMSCMD we have kept open. Second, there are certain take-or-pay contracts wherein we have signed 60-70% take-or-pay. So if Henry Hub prices goes higher and becomes uncompetitive as compared to the crude linked contract, it's a consumer behavior that they restrict themselves to take or pay or around that level. That certainly put us in a situation to market that volume at a prevailing price, and certainly the open volume also sometime provides us arbitrage of different indexes costlier. So yes, it may to some extent impact us, but our guidance with respect to marketing margin we have been maintaining of 4,000 crore rupees, factoring in all likely situation or whatever is prevailing currently.
Understood. So in that case, like, you know, would you be in a position to give us some kind of a split in terms of volume with regard to this oil linked selling contract?
Can you come again?
So you were mentioning, like, you know, some oiling contract that is there because of which you have to curtail. So that particular volume, in terms of how much of volume of out of that, like, you know, US contract is actually oil linked that you are placing?
No, I have not said so. What I have said, we have 21 MMSCMD of volume we source from United States. 3 million volume we have kept open. That means it is not back-to-back basis. That is index is Henry Hub and market. So that is the only challenge what we are telling. And some customers' behavior, if the prices change other way, they restrict themselves, take out and source from other gas. So that happens regularly.
So just to, like, you know, get it clarified, so the remaining 18 are all, like, you know, back-to-back contracts with gas-linked contracts.
Majority is on back-to-back, and some volume we take swaps. So that's how we make it back-to-back. That is swaps, crude versus Henry Hub.
Fair enough. My second question was on the capex cost of all these projects. Is there any project where we are seeing an escalation in the capex cost?
So, since most of our current projects are almost at the verge of completion and their cost has become almost kind of, you know, certain. PDHPP is 11,258 crore, is almost, we will be completing that project within that cost. PP is already under commissioning, no likely. Mumbai, Nagpur, Jharsuguda, except some portion, we are almost complete. Srikakulam, Mangul, except this per line, we are completing Gaspur. So nothing, because these projects are at a very significantly advanced stage of completion, and we have visibility that there is unlikely of cost escalation, except Jagdishpur, Haldia, which may see some cost escalation, not any other projects.
Minor
escalation.
Minor, that's what I'm saying. Great, sir. That is very useful. Thanks on all this.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Two questions. Firstly, you mentioned on the Henry Hub price, which is your price. For January, you said it is 4.69, right?
January supply price. Actually, applicable for price for January is price settled in December, right? So price settled in December is 4.69, which is applicable for January supply. The price settled for the January is 7.46, which is applicable for current month, that is February.
So that has gone up significantly. So that will have impact on the petchem, right?
I admitted that. But we will take some optimization measures. Can we market it instead of bringing that gas to this market? Can we market it to Europe where prices are good, or and then we source some spot or some group link contract gas or available in our portfolio supply? So those optimization measures we'll take, but on face of it has gone up.
Right. And a small follow-up to this 4,000 crore is, when you say 4,000 crore, you mean the EBIT, right?
I mean PBT.
You mean PBT, right? So Q3, what was the PBT then? I mean, EBIT was 4,000 crore, but I think below EBIT...
So you reduced 769 crore from 3,000 crore, around 2,231.
2,231 was the...
2,231. Yeah.
Okay, that was
for Q, for half year, first half.
Okay, 2,231 crore was the PBT for half year versus that you are expecting 4,000 crore plus for the full year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, something, some events are taking place because of geopolitical situation. Has anybody envisaged that the exchange rate will touch to 92?
Right, right, sir, definitely.
So these factors are also, you know, making us to calibrate, but we still maintain 4,000 crore.
Right, sir. Sir, and second question is on your ethane sourcing. So you will set up another, I think right now you are setting up Vidyapur Pata, but if you were to import ethane from US and also you'll have to set up another pipeline, which will be set up somewhere in the Hazira Dahej belt. Is that right?
So maybe Hazira, maybe Dahej, maybe Dabhol to Vidyapur. We have all the options available because, you know, we have our own terminal. As well, we are expanding the capacity of Dabhol from current level of 5 MTPA to 6.3, already sanctioned, and we have planned to gradually increase to 12.5. We have all the options available, and we are working on that, which terminal we should plan for bringing ethane and utilize, because anybody will prefer that you should utilize your own terminal.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Pratyush from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks a lot for giving this opportunity. I have two questions. First is regarding your sourcing. So, you know, since you have mentioned it a couple of times that, you know, you source about 15.5 million ton of contracts. So, can I get the bifurcation of the contracts? Like, what kind of volumes are you getting from RasGas? What kind of volumes are you getting from Exxon, Chevron, etc.? That's the first question. And once you answer it, I'll, you know, go to the second question which I have in my mind.
So, we have 16.53 MMTP of contracts existing. Out of that, we have 5.8 million tons from United States on Henry Hub and 0.75 from Middle East on Henry Hub. That makes 6.55 million ton, right? Then 4.5 million ton from, again, RasGas on crude link. Approximately 3 million ton again from one of the marketing companies, SAFE, on crude link. 0.42 million ton again on crude link from, you know, through PLL. And we have signed one more contract from Vitol for 1 million ton. That is crude link. And ADNOC, another 0.53 million ton of crude link.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. Thanks a lot. So, second question is regarding the downstream players, the, you know, the fertilizer, the CGD players, and, you know, other players whom you actually give the gas. So, I wanted to ask regarding the marketing margins of the contracts, because in the last quarterly call, you mentioned about, you know, there's a 7.8 million ton of contract in which you have a bit of sort of fixed margin. You know, and which is majorly sold to fertilizer players. So, you know, does it involve that CGD companies also, and this 7.8 is something which you majorly get from the RasGas? Is it something which I'm understanding correct? So that is the one point. And second is, I mean, what's the typical marketing for the other 7.2 million contract in which you do not have a typical fixed kind of margin which is there in the 7.8 million?
Actually, it's not last guess we are getting 7.5 or 7.8. Only we are getting 4.8 as of now. Which is
moving
that 0.75 on Henry Hub. That is one question.
Yeah.
Second, largely our volume, I have said 3 MMSCMD, you can say 0.75 MMTPA or maybe 0.8 MMTPA is open. All other volumes we have marketed either back-to-back, or if not back-to-back, we are taking swaps for mitigating risk time to time. And when we have marketed these volumes on back-to-back or through swap, there is a fixed margin. Now, fixed margin varies from contract to contract and period of contract. So that's the overall scenario. Somewhere you get maybe a dollar margin, or somewhere you get 20 cent margin, or somewhere you get 10 cent margin. That varies from the time we marketed, that varies to whom we marketed, and that varies also based on how much volume we marketed. So largely you can consider that out of total volume we have marketed largely on back-to-back basis, except maybe 0.8 or 0.9.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. And so over and above this, you know, largely the back-to-back contract, you also get margins on the APMM, the STPT, right? Definitely, I think it's capped according to the government of 200 rupees per 1,000 SCM, something like that. So this was regarding the RLNG part, but not about the domestic front. In domestic front, you also get some, you know, marketing margins on, you know, getting contract through APM or STPT. Am I understanding it correct? But there is a margin which has been capped by government and about 200 rupees per 1,000 SCM. Is it something like that?
Actually, there are
domestic gas.
Domestic gas also has two parts. One is APM gas, where the margin is 200 rupees per thousand SCM. The another is MDP gas, where marketing margin is around the line of RLNG.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. Okay, sir. That's all from my end. Thanks a lot for answering this question.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from PhillipCapital India Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is also on the gas marketing business. So can you also help us with the guidance for volume for gas marketing in FY 2027? I suppose the contract with Vitol is supposed to start in 2027, right? FY 2027, I mean.
It has started in 2026.
It has started. So what is the volume guidance for marketing, sir?
Okay, sorry. So volume guidance-
What is the-
We expect actually 5% increase. We have been maintaining that 5%-6% increase in the volume. So if we end up this year,  104-105, because year is to be end, so maybe 109-110 MMSCMD on normative basis, we should achieve.
So, sir, my question is then, I mean, incremental question is linked to that only. So if we are targeting higher volume in FY 2027, so are we expecting a contraction in margin, especially in the backdrop of what you earlier commented, that now crude linked contracts are turning out to be more favorable than HH. So are we, like, expecting any challenges with respect to marketing of HH contracts? So that's why we are,
Nitin, considering those challenges, I have not revised my marketing guidance. I have maintained 4,000 crore in spite of increase in volume by 5 MMSCMD.
Yeah, so your volume is going up, but your PBT guidance remains the same, which tells me that, like, we are expecting a margin contraction. Is that the right assessment?
No. Yeah. Not, we are not expecting, but I cannot give you guidance, which actually may face some challenges. Like this year, in the beginning, who would have envisaged that situation will happen like this? Still, we are maintaining the guidance we have given in earlier, in the beginning of the year, that is 4,000 crore. So I, whenever we give guidance, then that we should give guidance which is in even conservative or difficult scenario you are able to achieve, right? So if,
Okay.
We expect more, but let that to come actually. We want to give you something which is certain based on today's assumptions.
Understood, sir. Fair enough. And sir, my second question was with respect to the petrochemical business. So, I mean, thanks for helping us with the gas cost. I just wanted to understand the operating cost. If you can give us any ballpark number around what could be an operating cost, operating cash cost, excluding depreciation on a per ton basis, that we can, like, you know, I mean, to help us understand that, like, you know, how that number is moving.
Basically, in the process plant, particularly in the petrochemicals, we have around 70% to 75% as a gas cost. Rest is the other cost, which includes repairs and maintenance, employee cost, and stores and spares, and other costs. So you can consider this much.
So the 75% number that you are saying would change when the gas cost changes, right? So I just wanted to understand a ballpark for, say, operating cost per ton that we can, like, you know, consider for our understanding.
What is the total cost? Now, you can calculate whatever we have published figure for the petrochemical segment. So we are reporting separately for the petrochemicals in another segment. So you can calculate easily from the published figure.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Bineet from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. One question on the petchem side. So I think ONGC had already announced charter contract for a couple of ethane carriers, and they also have an agreement with Petronet LNG for ethane handling. So, and given that the Qatar gas will not be rich gas from 2028 onwards, so what is your plan in terms of sourcing gas for your ethane cracker? And where do you want to, I mean, will you be using the Petronet's Dahej terminal for handling ethane, or will you be adding this capability in your double terminal?
Actually, this question I have clarified in detail. That first, we are working on ethane sourcing. We are already in the midst of laying the line from Vijaypur to Pata, which can carry ethane. We are also evaluating for putting up a pipeline upstream to Vijaypur. And for that, we have three terminals, at least in West Coast in our mind. That is Hajira, Dahej, and Dabhol. Dabhol being our own terminal, subject to viability, we will prefer to bring ethane at our own terminal.
Okay, sir. And given the current margins for petchem and the margins in the next quarter will be probably worse than what you reported in the third quarter because of higher heavier prices. So is it not better to just stop operating the cracker probably in the fourth quarter because you are making losses even at the EBITDA level?
Actually, we could have done it, but mind it, there are two consequences of stopping the plant for a very small period. Because anyway, we are expecting next year onward the prices are going to be softened. There we have those offers available. For if we stop the plant for a period of say 1 or 2 months, it actually hurts two ways. One, the energy efficiency or the minimum energy required to maintain the plant in preservative condition that we have to incur. Second, the customer sentiment. You see, a lot of customers have signed the contract or MOUs with us. If we stop the plant in between, we will lose these customers and they will go to our competitors. So we cannot be, fly by night, the player like, now we are losing, we stop it, now we are earning, we start it. So on a longer term basis, we do not believe that this plant is going to incur losses. Last year we were at a break-even level. This year, unfortunately, two reverse things happened. Prices went down and the input has gone up. Next year, we are not expecting such situation to be repeated.
Okay, sir, understood. So last question on the housekeeping question. So your staff cost is down significantly. I think it's lowest in many, many years. So what was causing this very low staff cost in third quarter?
Yes, sir. Basically, during the last year, we provided PRP at the 100%. Basically, during the current year, no incremental is for the current year. So we have reduced our PRP provision.
And there is no impact of labor code in this number, right?
No, right now, no.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, please limit your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for doing the call. Just a question around CapEx now. Considering your petrochemical projects are getting completed this year, and if you can just give us a timeline of when they kind of start up on each of them, how much are you thinking about CapEx for fiscal 27? Thank you.
So we expect to have, subject to addition of new projects, which I am not factoring in, we expect to incur 9,000 to 10,000 crore rupees of capex in financial year 27. We have 2-3 pipelines which are under construction. Those capex will come up like Vijaypur Auriya C2-3 pipeline, Gurdaspur Jammu pipeline, completion of KKMBPL and Jagdishpur Haldia pipeline, and the spur lines of SAPL. Second, We have also approved in board the doubling the capacity of our Jamnagar Loni pipeline. Until now, this segment appears to be very small segment, but by doubling it will appear to be very lucrative segment. So that will also involve a capex of 5400 crore rupees. So large part of capex will be on pipeline in 27 and even in 28. And then we also have net zero plan, 35,000 crore rupees we have planned to incur in a period of 10 years, and we are evaluating various projects. Like I narrated during the opening remarks, that almost 700 plus megawatt of renewable energy projects we have in hand. We are working on it, and we are doing it on purely commercial analysis basis to replace our internal uses of power which we are purchasing. So around 2,000 to 3,000 crore rupees of capex will come from that side, and then maybe remaining capex which project we are completing during this year will be there from petrochemical and GNPL, and then equity and country CGD projects which we are doing, LNG projects which we are doing, CBG projects which we are doing may involve 800 to 1000 crore rupees of capex. This is how we reach to 9 to 10,000 crore rupees of capex, including equity.
Got it. So very clear, sir. The timeline on the completion of the petrochemical plants this year, like when are you thinking which starts up, PTA, Mangalore, PP, PDH, like when do they start up now from your timeline perspective?
PTA will start during this financial year. We are very hopeful that it will be commissioned during this financial year. PP, which we are putting at Pata, 60 KTA, will be commissioned in a day or two. PDHPP Gusar, we expect to complete during this calendar year. That is delayed, as planned. We could not complete, but by calendar year end, we expect it to complete.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Saurabh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you had mentioned that for the tariff hike benefit, which is 12%, the earnings benefit you're looking at is around 1,200 crores. Now, this is what you had announced when this was before the zonal tariff apportionment. Now, based on the zonal tariffs, it looks like the benefit could be slightly higher than that. So are you still maintaining a 12% number, or could you just quantify in terms of realized benefit?
Actually, we maintain 12% because this zonal distribution is subject to our risk and reward. It may be 14, it may be 11. So we maintain an average number of 12.
Sure, sir. And just a last question on CapEx. With all your pipelines likely to get commissioned over the next between March and June, how much should we look at in terms of what you will be capitalizing and the implications for depreciation?
Just hold on.
During the current quarter, I have capitalized around 5,200 crores. So only balance portion of Tirukkalam Angul is per line around 300 kilometer, and some portion of Jagdishpur Haldia from Calcutta to Haldia and Dhamra to Haldia. This will be capitalized by June, and some portion of Mumbai Nagpur Jharsuguda, mainly Nagpur to Jabalpur, and in the Maharashtra region. So this pipeline is capitalized, and during the by June 26, Gurdaspur Jammu pipeline will also capitalize. So the capex is around 500 crore. So these are the capex which we will capitalize during the coming years.
So how much would this amount be if you just exclude the Gurdaspur Jammu pipeline? Is that another 4,000 to 5,000 crores of capitalization?
From 2,500 to 3,000 crores.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have two of them. Firstly, this staff cost, you said that there was some adjustment because you had made a higher provision earlier. So going ahead, what would be the annual or quarterly run rate that one should look at, say from FY27 or so? What will be the annual staff cost run rate that we should be looking at?
Vikas ji, ye bada simple hai. Hamara jo pay package hai, usme एक परफॉर्मेंस रिलेटेड पेमेंट होता है दैट इज लिंक्ड टू इंक्रीमेंटल प्रॉफिट. सो एज कंपेयर टू लास्ट ईयर this year we are not expecting any incremental profit. So therefore, the on account of incentive that has gone down. Now your question, how much you should factor in this year we are clear, but next year certainly we expect that if we are not having incremental profit, certainly we will have next year because our base is going down. So next year you can consider the staff cost at the level of previous year.
Okay.
Like
thank
you. Add
100
crores around.
Hmm.
You can add 100 crores on the incremental profit on account of PR.
Hmm. Okay, understood, Shilaj. Rajesh, just one more thing. So this revision of tariff. Revision of tariff that we filed for. See, if it does not get a look through sometime in the next 12 months or so, then automatically they will, you know, PNGRB will be like, you're anyways going to get it from April 28. Is that how we should look at it? And how is the process? So once you submit it, then it is, do they have a timeline within which they need to respond or?
Vikashji, there is no timeline for regulator. That's the fact. So at our part, we have filed the petition. At our part, we will follow up for that. But the concerned amount timeline remains.
Okay. And finally, I think just to kind of recap what you were just saying to the earlier participant was, 5,400 crore is the capitalization in this particular financial year for pipelines. And how much is it likely to be in FY27?
I think Sinaji will respond.
I will give you.
Vikashji, I think this is not readily available. Let us give you the right answer. Give us maybe half an hour. He will come back to you. Sinaji will come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you, dear participants. It was always, or it is always good to interact with you. I know you may have some more questions which you might not or you could not have asked because of the time constraint or there was some one question of Vikas we could not respond immediately. We appreciate your participation and we will be answering you the questions you could not ask or we could not respond offline and look forward to interact with you regularly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone.